Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The text we're going to consider is the Old Testament lesson. When Joseph's brothers saw that their father was dead, they said, "Perhaps Joseph will hate us and may actually repay us for all the evil which we did to him." So they sent messengers to Joseph, saying, "Before your father died, he commanded, saying, 'Thus you shall say to Joseph, I beg you, please forgive the trespass of your brothers and their sin, for they did evil to you. Now please forgive the trespass of the servants of the God of your father.' And Joseph wept when they spoke to him. Then his brothers also went and fell down before his face, and they said, 'Behold, we are your servants.' Joseph said to them, 'Do not be afraid, for am I in the place of God? But as for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good, in order to bring it about as it is this day, to save many people alive.'" This is our text. So last week we read in the gospel lesson that if your neighbor sins against you, go to that person and seek to gain your brother. The word is an interesting Greek word. It means to win over, to gain your brother. What does that mean, though? He sinned against me, so why in the world am I trying to gain him? It would be rather natural to seek to lose him, get rid of him, be done with him. But that's the way the world thinks. That's the way Joseph's brothers were thinking. We try to find those people who are for us and protect ourselves from those who seem to have something against us. And if they thought like we do, they might try to make us pay. They might pay us back. That's what it's like to live as a sinner among sinners. There are sins, and there is payback. The brothers of Joseph were skilled in that kind of thinking, and once you grab a hold of it, you will not be able to easily let it go. Once it becomes a habit in your mind, that's the way you'll see things. For it is a way of thinking that makes sense to sinful human beings. It's the way of all flesh. But there's a different way of thinking, which we see in the life and words of Joseph, reflecting the heart and mind of God to guilty sinners. "You meant it for evil, but God meant it for good." When our hearts and minds are burdened with past sins, we live in fear and are unable to see good. It's hard for us to see. It isn't just that man's heart, as Moses described, every inclination is only evil all the time. It's that we cannot see good. We are blind. In the gospel lesson for next week, the master in the parable, after it was a parable of the workers in the vineyard, when the ones who had worked all day were very upset that the ones who had worked an hour got the same amount as they did, the master says, "Is your eye evil because I am good? Is your eye evil, the evil eye?" There's a lot to talk about there. We're not going to hit it this week, obviously. But the idea is, when I look at something, I see and I attribute it to being evil. We cannot see. Jesus refers to us as spiritually blind. We call evil good and good evil. That's by nature the way we live. And so when we've sinned against someone, we carry guilt and fear. We cannot hide the facts from ourselves without lying to ourselves. We know what we have done. This is what John mentions when he says, "If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. For God knows our heart. He knows the motives better than we know ourselves." And we see this very thing in Joseph's brothers. They had made a mess of their relationship with him. They were jealous because their father liked Joseph better, favored him, played favorites. And that's one problem that Joseph had to face. They believed that it was just a matter of time for them to get what was coming to them. As long as their sins were stuck in their conscience, their mind, they couldn't deal honestly or even in love with their brother. They could not see anything good, no matter how obviously it stands out. They ascribed evil motives to him, even though God used him as an instrument of good. And so they brought pain and sadness into the relationship. When somebody tries to do good for someone else, and people treat you like you're trying to hurt them or you're going to punish them, well, like Joseph, it causes you to weep. To weep at their fear, at their confusion, their need to try to self-protect, their need to bring their father into the question. What a pitiful example of guilt and shame. Dad said, Dad told you. It's not the point, guys. It's not the point. It's not a matter of authority here. They didn't understand their own brother's heart. And so they treated him as if he was like them. That's the way human beings treat God. But Joseph's love for them was already clearly proven. His care for them, receiving them and their families. But more importantly, they didn't know what was at the heart of his being. You see, when you're stuck bearing your sins, you become blind. You cannot see. You cannot hear right. You become a person who is very much blind, difficult to deal with. Joseph looks at them weeping. The insults were deep and broad. They didn't understand the heart or the mind of their brother. You meant it for evil. He doesn't mince words. He doesn't play the therapeutic psychotherapist who's trying to make sure he doesn't push them away. No, this is a time where they need to hear very clearly. We need to settle this problem between us. We need to deal with your sins. So let's talk about your sins. That's the way you get these things passed. You meant it for evil. Yes, you meant evil against me. That's hard to deny. The things they did to him, the path of life they set him on, there's no question about this. They hated him. They hated the fact that their father their father favored him. They were jealous and envious, and so they sought to get rid of him. You played fast and loose in the midst of this battle between God and the devil. That's really where we start to get to it here. He's going to mention that indirectly, but that's really what he means. You played fast and loose. There is a battle between the devil who wants to destroy the line of the Messiah. We read it in Revelation 12. We see it all the way through the scriptures. And you played fast and loose because you were all worried about yourself and what you wanted. You didn't know what you were doing. Joseph has been considered a kind of a picture of Christ. You meant it for evil. God meant it for good. God was working through the midst of this evil on your part to bring about that which is good. The good was lost in the fall in Eden. Death and sin reigned. Yet God did not forsake men, but promised his Son would come and crush the head of the serpent. He would come and restore us to the image of God through his battle for us. Joseph believes this. And as we saw in Romans 13 last week, even when his life was turned upside down, he submitted to the authorities. It's hard for us to bear that. We love to tell people that we will resist. You know what? It's a fascinating thing. It's really fascinating. You have people screaming today about the church and about Christians who seem to be afraid to speak out. I think we have to measure our words. But it's really easy to talk like that. He submitted to the authorities. His brothers threw him in a hole and then sold him to the slavers, pretending he was dead. But he submitted. Did he have a choice? I don't know. I don't know. Could he have gotten away? We don't know the story. He just went to Egypt. And he was purchased as a slave by Potiphar and his wife. And he became a faithful servant in Potiphar's house. No, he's an American. He's going to rebel against this injustice. No, he's not. He trusted that God, well, he was in God's hands. It sounds so romantic. That's what revolutions are. They're very romantic. But he trusted in God. And so Potiphar, well, he gave him command over his house. But then Potiphar's wife, who did have authority over him, he didn't submit to her. He wouldn't sin against his master. Here we have authorities in conflict. And then the jailers in prison, after he gets accused of rape and thrown in prison, he becomes a model prisoner. No, that's not the American way. The American way is to rebel and try to get out. No, it's a fascinating thing. When you trust God, he takes care of you. He always does take care of you. The jailers, remember, were good people as far as it goes. But remember, he had these people come down. He told them and interpreted their dreams. They forgot about him. He forgot about him until much later. He just served. Even when the authorities failed him, and in every case it seemed that they did that over and over again. Even his father, remember, his father failed him by playing favorites, and yet he served him faithfully. Joseph submitted to the authorities, and then when it was God's time, something amazing happened. God meant it for good. What? What did he mean for good? He revealed the famine and put Joseph in the place of authority so that a remnant, that's what the word many people alive, may be saved. You see, the issue here is not, you know, somehow God comes and rescues everybody who gets put in prison somewhere. That's not true. He stops every martyr's death in its tracks. No, it's not true. We have martyrs' days because people die. But God was keeping the line of the Messiah alive. And that's what Joseph said. God meant it for good. I went through all of that, not because I would have chosen to, not because it was fair and just, but because I was in God's hand, and God intended to bring his son through the tribe of Judah, which we find in Genesis 49. One of those brothers falling down before Joseph, Judah himself, in whom the Messiah was going through, before whom all evil will bow, and all tongues, all will confess that this one is Lord, to the glory of God the Father, as we read in the epistle lesson. We don't know how things should work, the path, the circumstances, but we do know that God means it for good. What? Everything. We've heard that in Romans chapter 8. God does and will lead us, for he means to restore the good by sending his son to die on a cross, to pay our debt. That's the goal. That's the future. That's what he's looking forward to. He means to restore our good nature. He means to restore our ability to see God in his glory and his goodness. He means to restore us to that which he intended us to be for eternity. And so Joseph looks at his brothers at the end of the text and he says, "Do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. Perfect love casts out fear." You can hear all around us the men, the women, the children, people who are afraid, terrified of all sorts of things. Government, the pandemic, all of those things. Perfect love casts out fear. Love that is not built on what we deserve. But love that comes is a mystery to save sinners. And over again, we are reminded that God meant it for our good. And one day when we stand before him and we see how everything fits together, we'll say, God meant it for good. What? My life, whatever I had to go through, God meant it for good. I trust, I submit, I receive from his hand what I believe to be that which is good. Everything works out together for good. God brought it to pass that the debt is settled. He is reconciled through the blood of that promised son. That was true even as Joseph stood in front of his brothers weeping. It was true. It was an accomplished fact, effectively. Why? Because God said it. The Christ is going to come and he's going to crush the head of the serpent. It's as good as done. Nothing will stop it. Nothing will separate us from the love of God in Christ. That was true. To win a brother, don't be afraid to win a brother. A healed relationship which can proceed and begin to believe that God is working good through the other. Who will not need payback, but will rejoice in love and comforting one another. Those overwhelmed with sin. That's what it said Joseph did. Don't be afraid. I'll take care of you and your children. And he comforted them with these words. What a man. Well, that's exactly what God does to us when we stumble, when we fall over and over again. God meant it for good, a truly new creation, a truly good heart and mind and will towards a neighbor, even where there have been sins and failures. A truly restored creation. That is what God meant to do and is bringing to fruition even today. And each day, his church walks through this fallen world. God is making everything new. God meant it for good. Amen.